Right. Good morning. Good to see you. Let's open our Bibles to Philippians today. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 11, 12, and 13. Philippians 4, 11, 12, and 13. Now that I speak, not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. In GIC, we just completed this chapter, and here's Paul speaking about how our circumstances, or how his circumstances, he's been through a lot. He's been through good things, he's been through bad times, and he has a perspective on life that is very powerful. This is not a passage about passivity. It's not about, all right, I have a lot of good things, and so I'm just going to be passive. It's not about, okay, I'm suffering, I'm lacking a lot of things, so I'm going to be passive. This is not a passage on passivity. This is a passage about the heart attitude of where his contentment comes from. And that's what we need to understand through this passage, because if you look at our lives, we have to examine our hearts. Where does our contentment come from? Where does our dissatisfaction come from? Because I think as many believers who've been believers for a long time, we could have Christ in our hearts, and we understand his love and his faithfulness and all these things, and yet still our hearts are restless because there's some sort of discontentment in our lives. We're unhappy about our situations and things like that, which is, of course, natural. But once again, what I want to sort of confront you with this morning is, where is our source of contentment? And it's obvious, at least to me, for my life, is that even though I have Christ, the source of my contentment still is in my circumstances, still in my things, still in my material possessions. And here Paul is trying to address that, and he's saying, look, I've learned to be content in all circumstances, whether I have plenty, which I've had. You know, as we talked about, give us this day our daily bread. It's not about whether you have a lot or not. And it's obvious that there have been examples in Scripture of people who have prosperity. And Paul is one of them. And he's saying, I've had prosperity, and I've been happy with that. And of course, it's easy to be happy when you have a lot. But he says, but I've learned to be content when I don't have anything, when I'm lacking. I've learned in every circumstance the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. And so now here, the Bible is showing us the ways that we can respond during the confusion parts of our life, during the confusing things, and that's to be content in all circumstances. Because circumstances will always change, but God's control never does. Our circumstances will always change, but God's control over those circumstances never change. The only constant that we have in life is that circumstances will change, that life changes. And so we need to have God's perspective. I want to read you a poem. And I read many poems over when I speak, but as a rule, man's a fool, because when it's hot, he wants it cool. And when it's cool, he wants it hot, always wanting what is not. And I find myself feeling that way all the time. We always think the grass is greener on the other side, but the side that is greener is the one that you water. We always want what we don't have, and we always want things that are on the other side of the fence, and we think it's going to be better over there. It's going to be better if we have more things. It's going to be better if this difficulty is not in my life. It's always going to be better on the other side. But scriptures sort of speak to us and tell us that it's not going to be better on the other side. It's going to be better if you're in Christ. And so whether you're on this side or that side, whether you're in darkness or in the light, whether you are wherever you are, it's not going to be better on the other side. It's going to be better in Christ. And if you look at verse 11, there's a word that Paul uses that sticks out to me. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. It's not a natural thing to be content in our circumstances. Paul had to learn that. And so I think we have to learn from this, learn from Paul. And so I don't want us to find our contentment through our stuff, our circumstances, whether life is good, whether life is bad, but to see God's picture. I want to tell you a story of a businessman who was walking around a lake, and he saw a fisherman, and he was observing this fisherman for quite some time, and it looked like that the fisherman was just sitting there, sort of not doing anything, just kind of looking lazy in his boat. And so finally, this kind of bothered this businessman, and he shouted over to him. He said, "Hey, how come you're not doing any fishing?" He asked. And the fisherman responded, "Because I've caught enough for today. I've caught enough fish for today." And so this rich man asked, well, why don't you catch some more? Why don't you catch more than you need and save it up?" And the fisherman replied, "Well, what would I do with them?" So, "Well, you could sell them and earn more money and buy a better boat, and you could go deeper and catch more fish, and then you get more money and purchase nylon nets and catch even more fish and make more money. And so then you'd have a fleet of boats, and you can own a fishing company, and you could be rich like me." And the fisherman asked, "Then what would I do?" He said, "Then you could just sit down and just enjoy life." And the fisherman replied, "What do you think I'm doing now? What do you think I'm doing now?" As he looked out into the sea. And so it really depends on your perspective and things. And so Philippians says, "I've learned to be content in whatever the circumstances, whether I have plenty, whether I'm in want. I've learned the secret." I think we need to learn the secret. I think for many of us, for all of us, we ask this question all the time. If only I. And then fill in the blank. If only I was older. If only I was younger. If only I was taller. If only I was better looking. If only I had a boyfriend. If only I had a girlfriend. If only I had a husband. If only I had a wife. If only I had more money. If only I had a bigger house. I find myself saying that all the time. Just if only I had just a little bit more. If only my home was a little bit bigger. If only I had a little bit more money. If only I had a car. If only I had this or that. If only my parents didn't do that. If only I went to a different school. And we could go on with all these examples, but you get the idea. It's this idea, if only I had a little bit more. And I think the enemy uses that to sort of turn us away from the point. And the point is that in Christ, we can find our contentment and our sufficiency. But the enemy is always trying to lie to us and said, if only you had a little bit more, you would be happy. You look at babies and as a young parent, you know, trying to buy our son some toys. And there are some toys, I got to be honest, there's some toys that I want him to like, okay? I'm just being honest. And there's some toys that I don't want him to like. And so, I just, you know, since it's just a small group here and it's not like it's going to go all over the world online or anything. I've sort of brainwashed my son to like, certain toys, you know, like athletic, you know, basketballs and soccer balls and then when we go to Toys R Us in the States, Toys R Us is a lot bigger, and so there's a female section, you know, it's like all pink and, you know, like dollhouses and things like that. And so he would go and he would walk around, and every time there's a toy that I want him to like, you know, I would, you know, direct him to that and make a big fuss. And then when it comes to the pink section, you know, I would just basically yell at him and say, no pink. And so I would take, every time he wanted to walk in that direction, I would take his hand and bring him over to the toys that I want him to like. But here's what I found out. This is amazing. he doesn't like the toys that I like necessarily. You know, and so I would buy him toys and he would play with it for a little bit and then he would just chuck it or just go and play with something else. And so the toys I buy him, you know, he'd play a little bit and he would play with something else. And I'm like, come on, I want you to play with this toy, the one that I want you to play with. But, you know, apparently he's not content with that and he wants different things. And unfortunately, as we grow older into adulthood, for some of us, that doesn't really change. You know, children are, they play with toys for just a really short time and they discard them and they're not content with them and they want something else and something new and something new and something new and something new. You know, for us adults, maybe an example is our cell phones. Do you know anybody that every time a new cell phone comes out, they got to get the new cell phone and they're never content with their, you know, iPhone 3G? But hey, you know, that's... I'm one to talk. I have the most latest iPhone, but here's what Paul is getting at. He's saying, look, if you put your trust in your circumstances, you're going to be very disappointed. If you put your trust in material possessions, you're going to be disappointed. In all these things that we pursue, contentment is fleeting. But unless we find our contentment in Jesus Christ, our contentment comes from knowing that we're secure in Him, that we're loved by God, that we're a child of God. And these are things that He learned. If you look at verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Him. And that's the important part. See, because it changes the whole dynamic of this passage. Can you imagine... if he says this, and I'm going to read this again, verse 11. You know, I'm not speaking from want. I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need, and I can do everything. Period. I can do everything. And there are a lot of people in this world, a lot of businessmen, you know, they come to this sort of philosophy. You know, I've gone through good times, I've gone through bankruptcy, I've gone through, you know, prosperity, and, you know, I've learned, you know, that it's you just roll with the punches, and I can do everything. But Paul doesn't stop there, and we can't stop there. He says, I can do all things, but it's through Christ who strengthens me. It is through Him. See, because in Christ, He doesn't change. His love doesn't change. His faithfulness doesn't change. His provision doesn't change. Because He knows the plans that He has for me. I sort of want to close with this last story about our circumstances. And if you can find Christ in those circumstances, your attitude will change. And it's an ancient Chinese story. It's translated in English, but it's something that goes like this. There's a farmer who had one horse that he used for tilling his fields, to work his fields. And one day that horse escaped into the hills. And when all the farmer's neighbors heard about it, they sympathized with this old man over his bad luck. Oh, man, such bad luck. You lost your horse. The farmer responded, bad luck, good luck, who knows? A week later, the horse returned with another group of wild horses from the hills. And so this time, the neighbor congratulated the farmer on his good luck. And he responded, good luck, bad luck, who knows? And then when the farmer's son was attempting to tame one of the wild horses, he fell off its back and broke his leg. And once again, his neighbors, everyone agreed that this is very bad luck, and they felt so sorry for him. Not the farmer, who replied, bad luck, good luck, who knows? Some weeks later, an army marched into the village and forced every able-bodied young man to go fight in a bloody war. And when they saw the farmer's son had broken his leg, they let him stay. And everyone is happy at the farmer's good luck. And once again, his response was, good luck, bad luck, who knows? I think life is a lot like that, that sometimes it seems like things are going well, and other things it seems like things are going badly. And if we let those things sort of dictate our feelings and our outlook on life outside of Christ, when things are going well, we'll be happy, and when things are going bad, we'll be discouraged, and we're going to think that God is not with us. But the Word of God says He is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us, and then we'll be tossed around by our circumstances. But Paul wrote that he learned to be content. Once again, this is not a passage that's talking about passivity. It's talking about trusting in Christ. Because though everything around us may go up and go down, Christ is the solid rock on which we stand. That He is the one that brings everything into order. Are you going through some ups and downs? Are you going through some difficult times? Are you going through some confusion? Are you going through some misunderstanding? Are you going through some hurt and some pain? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ because He gives me strength. Does anyone need any strength this morning? Maybe your body is weak. Maybe you're tired. I want you to have that in your heart today as you go on with your day. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let's pray together. The Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord, and He will be there. So we're going to sing the song and worship, So let's worship Him. Let's just begin to pray. before we get into our community focuses, let's just begin to ask the Lord to examine our hearts. And are you putting your satisfaction in your circumstances and what's going on in your life? Or are you putting it in the one who's in control of those circumstances, the one who has plans for you, the one who is orchestrating behind the scenes goodness for your life? And so let's meditate on that a little bit before we move into our community focus. And maybe it means repentance. As we pray every morning, let's pray for those who are ill, because we believe that God wants to do something great in their lives, and He's going to take this illness for His glory. So there are names on the screen, and let's just pray for them and ask God to heal them, and that God would be glorified through that. And regardless if you know the names or the situations, they're part of our larger SP family, and so let's lift them up as family members. Pray for those that want intercession for loved ones that need to receive salvation and to receive the life that Christ gives. And so let's really lift them up. And for there are others who are going through other infirmities, so let's pray for them. Let's go to our missions focus, and let's lift up Hong Kong and China. Let's lift up especially SP Beijing with Pastor Sam Kim and his family. That God will continue to do powerful things there. And so let's lift up the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, the Basarabas, for Leanne, Edie Clark, GGR Kids, government, and the churches. So let's lift up that God would do something powerful in China and Hong Kong. Let's pray. Thank you. let's now pray for our SP staff, our pastors, and our servants. Let's pray for our administrators. Let's pray for the elder board and the missions committee. For the missions committee, there's a lot going on this summer and a lot of preparation, and so let's lift them up and let's ask the Lord to give wisdom and guidance. And so let's lift up our staff, elder board, and missions committee. Let's lift up Phoebe Ministry, our Indonesian ministry, and Pastor Salamat and his wife and his family. And let's just ask God to really bless them, especially in a Muslim context. Let's ask God to really speak in transformation there. Let's lift up our Korean church, Hong Kong Korean church, and just ask God to truly bless them and give them their needs. And so let's lift up these ministries right now. Pray for house churches, and there's a lot of great things happening in house church, a lot of great reports, just things that God is doing powerfully, and I truly believe it's because there are people praying for these house churches within and here at Morning Prayer. So let's pray for Lan Kwai Fong, Old Peak, Harborside, Seymour, and Star Street, and let's ask the Lord to really just reveal himself and that the community would come together and grow in Christ together. So let's lift up our house churches and its leaders. We just thank you that you give us a new day, a new life, an opportunity to see what you have planned for us. God, help us to learn to be content in all circumstances. God, because we know and we believe that we can do all things through you who gives us strength today. And Lord, so would you provide for us our daily bread for today. And God, we just lift up this day in your hands. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. I encourage you to stay and pray before you go out to work, and just have a great time in his presence. See you tomorrow.